UCL football fans, listen up. When you watch the UEFA Champions League with Heineken, you're never watching alone, even if you're watching alone. Heineken has teamed up with some of the world's greatest footballing legends to bring you the Heineken UCL Live. Seven legendary hosts to take you through every moment of seven unmissable UCL games, and they want you to get involved. Bring the banter and the rivalry, and you could win epic prizes. Tune in using the hashtag Heineken UCL Live on Twitter during match nights, and don't forget to enter the competition.
T's and C's apply. Not for persons under the age of 18. Drink responsibly.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to episode 74 of The Car Wash, proudly brought to you by Heineken. Whether you are tuning in on slpodcast.co.za, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM's Game Time, welcome to the show. I am your host, Aiden, and of course, I am not alone. I am joined by former Ajax Cape Town and Mamelodi Sundowns goalkeeper, Sean Roberts. How are you doing, dude?
Hello, my boy.
I am also joined by former Bafana Bafana, Orlando Pirates and Mamelodi Sundowns star, Teko Modise. How are you doing today?
I'm good, and you, bro?
Yeah, not too bad. Well, but nervous because we start off the show with the joke of the day, which usually is meant to bring a smile to our face, but more often than not, it's our heads in our hands. So, Sean, what have you got for us?
Oh, it's a beauty. Why are fish so easy to weigh? Because they come with their own scales.
Sean, no.
It's impossible to find a beer joke. So, sorry, Heineken.
I can agree with that.
Yeah, it is impossible.
But from there, we move into pole position. Pole position. Pole position is a segment where we ask our fans a question on Facebook or our supporters club on WhatsApp, a certain question, and we get voice note replies. This week, we asked, could Mamelodi Sundowns turn it around against Al Ahly in the second leg? Here's what you all had to say.
For football, anything can happen. If Al Ahly, they're managing to score two goals at Egypt, why Sundowns never do it again like Allah at home at South Africa? I think also Sundowns have got a chance because second round, I think, is the last chance for them. They are going to do it. If they are playing proper, it's easy to win the game. Especially they know this is the last chance. My message to the players of Sundowns, please, guys, keep pushing. Work hard. It's not over until next second round, next 90 minutes.
Yes. Sundowns will turn the table to beat Al Ahly.
Sundowns, I don't think they will come back. For me, as I see the results, I don't think Sundowns would come back. The only thing maybe they can do a draw here in Pretoria. But I don't think they can. They don't have what it takes to beat Al Ahly. They are worn out. Lots of people don't see that Sundowns is just worn out. Even the coaches don't have ideas no more. So there's only one guy that is really, really doing the business for Sundowns. Is that Shalulile. Shalulile is the guy. But then I don't think that Sundowns can beat Al Ahly at their form they are having right now.
I don't see Sundowns coming back with that 2-0. Obvious, Al Ahly score one this side. Not to say like I'm discouraging a South African team, but if you want to win in a CAF Champions League, you must score away goal. So now I don't see Sundowns coming back on this one.
Yeah, man. We lost against the best team, the best coach, Upizo. Basically, for me, it's even difficult to analyze this game because, yeah, Al Ahly is one of the best teams. Mamelodi Sundowns is one of the best teams. We lost, and it's going to be difficult to come back during the second half, the second leg. It won't be easy at all, you know. And remember, Pitso Mosimane knows very well in Mamelodi Sundowns. Pitso knows the strength of Mamelodi Sundowns. He knows the weaknesses of Mamelodi Sundowns. So he had to work on that so that they can be able to destroy us. All they wanted is to make sure that we don't score at all, you know. And it was going to be better if we managed to score at least one goal, you know. It was going to be better. And coming back, three goals, it won't be easy at all. Mamelodi Sundowns is not that they were bad. We played very well. It was just one of those kind of mistakes that we, any player can do it, any team can do it. I cannot dwell on individual players and blame them. It's a mistake. It happened that we lost. We were supposed to make sure that to cover up those kind of mistakes, we also score. Don't rely on the goalkeeper if the keeper made a mistake. And Upiso, he knows Mamelodi Sundowns very well. And Al Ahly, you know, is always the best. And I cannot dwell on the past game where we once beat them 5-0. This is a new game, actually. And the new team, the new coach from Al Ahly. Anyway, Upiso, we were supposed to say Al Ahly, but manje eshayati na manje. So yeah, man, it's going to be interesting. But coming back in the second half, miracles can happen.
So Sean, what is your prediction? What are your thoughts? What happened with Sundowns? What can they do?
Sure. I mean, I don't know what Teiko thinks, but it was a great game. I was super impressed with Sundowns. Going forward, very good. Defensively struggled a little bit. I thought Dennis Onyango, obviously, for both goals, in my opinion, was at fault. I don't know what Teiko thinks about that. Certainly the first goal, he actually got both hands to it and was able to push away. And then the second goal was caught in no man's land. Serena was very good. And Kalise, brilliant. But they were... They were outclassed a little bit away from home. What do you think, Teiko? I think there's a lot of positives to take away from it. I just wish they got an away goal. It would have made life a lot more exciting for us as the neutrals and a lot more exciting for the fans. But it's a tough one to see Sundowns come back and get any sort of result. What do you think, Tex?
Look, I think with how they performed, of course, there's a lot of positives that they can take from the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those situations, especially in such games where you make a mistake, you get punished, mm-hmm. you know, and that's high level of football. But Sundowns have been exposed in such situations before, but they've never been in a position where they have to come back and probably maybe perform a miracle yeah. and try to qualify. So this is one of the biggest challenge that they have, mm. you know, and, you know, like you said, if they scored an away goal, things would have been a little bit
interesting yeah.
to yeah. see. But now they're playing home. I think, you know, Al Ahly, the last time they were here, they drew. And the other time they were here, they got 5
yeah.
in Sundowns. So Sundowns do have a kind of like a good record, if you can say, against Al Ahly, especially at home. But the only difference is Sundowns was coached by Pito.
Yeah.
So I think now, because things have changed, I think the challenge that Sundowns are facing, especially now, it's not Al Ahly, it's how to outsmart Pito in the second leg. Mm. Because, look, Al Ahly are a type of a team that, especially now that they're leading, they know how to delay the game, they know how to drag the game. And the question is, how will Sundowns be able to manage those frustrations?
Yeah.
And be able to stay in the game even with those things happening on the pitch, you know, when and goalkeepers start getting injured for no reason, you know, those type of things in Champions yeah. League. But I think with Sundowns' quality, I think they know how the quality that they have within the team. But it's just that it's going to be very, very, very difficult. And I think they have to play above themselves, you know, come the weekend, if they have to get something out of this, because it's going to be very, very difficult to play, you know, to try and narrow that 2-0.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting what you said. It's going to come down to, you said, how do Sundowns outsmart Al Ahly, but it's really how do Vancouver and the boys outsmart Pizzo, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's an interesting point you made, and obviously Pizzo knows the players inside out. It's going to be very, very difficult. They do, it's a hell of a story.
Look, dude. Look. If Sundowns pulls through and qualify, they have no right not to win the Champions League if they're to come out of this.
Absolutely.
Because this will be one of those difficult challenges as well. And for me is now those three coaches, co-coaches, now they put into a test. Mm. Now they have to come out and show how smart they are, how they can outsmart Peter. Because look, when you play against a coach that knows you very, very well, which means as a footballer, you need to do things differently. You need to have a different personality on the day, you know, try something new. But also, it's such a big game that you don't also want to do everything new. You know, you still want to have your characteristics, you know, your personality on the pitch and do the stuff that you do, you normally do. But I think I think also there's a lot of pressure on Al-Ahli than Sundowns.
Yeah.
Because now you're coming here with a 2-0. If Sundowns scores, you know, early in the game, and then the game is open.
Yeah.
And then there's a bigger challenge for Peter. And I think also it's for Al-Ahli, also for Peter. I think it's for his contract as well.
Sure.
I think this is a big game for Coach Peter. I think it's for his contract as well. And Mamelodi Sundowns know that. And also for Mamelodi Sundowns, not only for Champions League's rights, I think also for bragging rights. And you can imagine, as much as Sundowns respect Coach Peter and Peter respect Sundowns, but at the end of the day, you know, they need to put their feelings aside and be able to figure out how to beat Al-Ahli, because they are beatable sides.
Yeah, I mean, look, things could have changed. I mean, there was a challenge on Serenio in the first half. I don't know if you saw that, where it was a red card. It was unbelievable. And if that had to go through, obviously that would have changed the game. Matupa had a couple of good opportunities. I was very impressed with him in a nutshell. Unlucky with the 2-0 results. That was down, in my opinion, down to individual errors in an unlikely source. It's very rare you see Onyango make mistakes. Unfortunately, he made it in a crucial game, and that's the joys of being a goalkeeper, I guess.
And in another, like, pretty interesting result, Kaizer Chiefs versus Simba. What happened there?
Yeah, great. I think Chiefs were very good against a very poor side. I wasn't very impressed with Simba. I don't know what the whole hype was about, but having said that, there's an away game coming, so things can change. But Motoho, I think he's been under a lot of slack lately. He had a great performance with a good goal. Nurkovic, absolutely brilliant. I think
it's called a brace, right?
Yeah, I mean that header, Teko. You can't from 12 yards out to get that sort of power, to get that sort of height is next level. And his second goal just as good with that timing of the volley, and their fourth, Manyama, with that perfect cross into Castro. But yeah, I think Chiefs will take a lot from that. I think Gavin will be relieved more than anything, but also happy, because they gelled nicely, and I think they can hopefully we can see them carrying this form into the league. So let's see what happens this weekend with their away leg. But I think Chiefs played well against an average Simba.
what was interesting for me, Sean, was when Gavin said I think we need to have more marches, because I think before the game, if the fans marched to the village and complained about the players' performance and all that type of stuff,
yeah,
and after that they pulled such a performance, and Gavin said they needed more of those, you know. And for me is also what it helps as well, especially in this type of tournaments, luck also. You know, when things are aligned, it's very difficult to be stopped. Yeah. And with the goals that they have right now, there's no way that they can drop that. And even no matter what happened, because in the past we used to be scared with such a scoreline, because you know that the ref will do anything to equal the game.
Yeah.
But you know, they've got a nice cushion. But the problem also that has been facing KZ Chiefs the whole season is the consistency.
Yeah.
You know. And of course, we want come Monday, you know, both South African teams, you know, have qualified, but also it's, I think for Chiefs, they know that they've got their one foot in, but for Sundowns, it's going to be difficult. But look, man, Chiefs have the quality players, have the players to bring in the results, but it's just that inconsistency that I've been struggling with. But I think now with this cushion that they have, I think they feel confident that they can go through. Mm. But also the reality is they need to come back again and deal with the reality of not of not being secure of the top eight spot, because it'll be very sad to see next season starts and then Kaizer Chiefs are not in the top eight.
Yeah, I can't see that happening. I really can't. I mean, they seem to have found a little bit of form, and like you said, we've said this before, and then the consistency kills them. But it's nice to see a goal coming from a Motoho, who in my opinion should be getting you 6 to 7 goals a season anyway, which he has been doing in the past. So I'm happy for that. I hope Chiefs can continue this. I hope Gavin stays. I really do. I think with a little bit of an open checkbook next season, you can get the best out of the players. I really do. I really do think that. So, and they're getting some without Karma Biliat as well, who's out for quite a while, I believe. To play this sort of game in this sort of form without him, who they usually base the game around, is exciting and it's encouraging. So let's see what happens there, Waylick.
Yeah, man.
And then Tex, our favorite team in the entire world, are at it again. Chipper United have fired their coach. It is just with 2 games to go.
Is that what it is?
I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. And now they're talking about going back to Seymour again, who they fired. Chipper wants Seymour back.
Seymour? Who's Seymour, Chief? Seymour, who got the keys to my Bima?
Seymour. It's just, I mean, would you think they need a new coach, or do you think they need someone to come in, just give them a kick up the ass? Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's just, you can't expect a new coach to come in. And if I was Chipper, you know what I'd do? I'd get someone like, I don't know, a Gordon Ingerson, a Stuart Baxter, or something like that, to come in and give a motivational talk. You can't expect a coach that's failed before to come in and try to keep your status. It just makes absolutely no sense. And this is why I'm always vocal about Chipper, and I'm not sad to see them get relegated if they do. But it's just, it makes no sense to me. It makes absolutely no sense to me.
Look, there's a lot of stuff that Chipper United are doing that doesn't make sense, especially in football. Like for me, is I respect the brand Chipper United. I understand the struggles of running a team. You know, I get that. I get that. But Chipper's not the first team to be able to be in that space. But it's just that the way he changes and fires coaches and bringing them back, I think that's a lot of disrespect to the coaches and to the South African football itself. Mm. So for me, I don't respect that. It shows that there's something that Chipper doesn't understand, or he's not a football person. There's a lot of stuff that we can speak about. You know, and for in 2 games to go, right? You fire a coach. And you keep changing coaches every season. You've got a good number to 3 to 4 per season. That's who you are. And you're still keeping the same players. I mean, the reality is that the chances are it might not be coaches, might be the players that you have.
Right.
So for me, it's 2 games to go.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah.
You've got 2 games to go. You have TTM that you're fighting with for relegation, for playoffs rather, and you've got SuperSport United as well. Those are two tough games. You can say they are finals for Chipper United.
Hmm.
But the thing is, you want to bring in Lisanola Siema, who you fired, went to Black Leopards, and Black Leopards was still in the same position that it was. So Lisanola Siema didn't do anything for Black Leopards, right? Then you want to bring him back to do something for you. That's crazy.
We were surprised that he left Celtic, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. Yeah. But I understood also the reasons probably. This is me assuming here, because I remember at the time when he left, there was a lot of problems of non-payments going on for months without getting paid and all that type of stuff.
Mm.
So I think there's a lot of reasons why he left. I don't think he initially wanted to leave.
Sure.
Bloemfontein Celtics, but it's unfortunate that he left a good team where he was actually very good at. He understood the players and all that type of stuff. To come to teams that are fighting relegation, that's not where the coach, especially a young coach, wants to see themselves. And I don't think there's a coach in his right mind that wants to go and coach at Chippa United. Not because of the players are bad, but because of the management doesn't understand football. So for me, what's happening to Chippa, it's not unfortunate. They deserve to be where they are because of how they're treating the coaches and how they keep ignoring the football facts. Yes, they were fortunate enough to be in the final, but do they really, really deserve to be in the final? No. And I wish they invested more of their resources and qualities and time into surviving relegation. And if they're not smart and if they're not aware, they might find themselves in trouble, especially in the playoffs. And in the playoffs, there's no guarantee of coming back. And also, dude, this league, everybody, when somebody wins, somebody drags somebody down. So there's a lot of changes that can happen before the end of the league. But it's just for me, Chippa United, I think Chippa Mpengesi is not taking football serious. He's not taking the PSL seriously. I honestly say that because with all the coaches that are coming there, he keeps firing them. And then you're thinking that the coaches are the problem. Maybe you are the problem or the players are.
We've said this before, but it is time that the PSL steps in. And I don't know what they can do, but there needs to be some sort of governance on this. It's crazy. It's humorous, actually. It is humorous. It's bullshit. Yeah.
And from there, we head into the international news desk. But first, let's have a word from our sponsors. UCL football fans, listen up. When you watch the UEFA Champions League with Heineken, you're never watching alone, even if you're watching alone. Heineken has teamed up with some of the world's greatest footballing legends to bring you the hashtag HeinekenUCL Live. 7 legendary hosts to take you through every moment of 7 unmissable UCL games, and they want you to get involved. Bring the banter and the rivalry, and you could win epic prizes. Tune in using hashtag HeinekenUCL Live on Twitter during match nights, and don't forget to enter the competition. Drink responsibly, not for sale to persons under the age of 18. T's and C's apply. We are joined now by Sokola Duma international news correspondent Kurt Bakkerfield. How are you doing, Kurt?
Hey, guys. Hey, Aidan. Sean. Teko.
Hey. Good. Yeah, man. Not too bad. Not too bad. Enjoying the rainy weather. Can't lie to you.
Loving it.
Enjoying the sunny weather.
You must be nice. So, Kurt, Juventus and Atalanta met last night in the Coppa Italia final. Juventus came off victorious, winning 2-1. Now, there's been a lot of controversy around Juventus, you know, with the Super League and not really convincing enough to be in the Champions League and their league, the table position. What does this mean for Cristiano Ronaldo? What is his future looking like? Will he stay at Juventus? Let's also not forget that he has like now become the first football player in history to score 100 plus goals for 3 different clubs.
Yeah. I do think that if Juventus fail to qualify for the Champions League, Ronaldo will leave. And I don't think that this trophy will have much of an impact. But I do think that, you know, some of the criticism he has received has maybe been a little unfair. Ronaldo has got, I think, in 133 games, 101 goals. You know, no matter how you want to look at his time at Juventus, that's pretty impressive.
Bonkers.
It's pretty wild. Yeah. So look, I'm sure they'll be happy. I'm sure Andrea Pirlo will be delighted to have won a trophy in his first season as a manager, but it doesn't look like Juventus will continue with him next season. I guess it all depends on whether they qualify for the Champions League, which right now they aren't favorites to do. So, yeah, I do think he'll leave without Champions League football. But when you consider Ronaldo's numbers, the fact that he's hit a century of goals, becoming the first player in history to do that with 3 clubs in Europe's top 5 leagues, a further 22 assists as well on top of that. Look, I know the game isn't about numbers and people will still look at Ronaldo's time in Italy maybe as a failure, just considering that Juventus didn't take that next step in Europe, which is clearly what they wanted to do. That was the sole motivation behind that signing, was to get Juventus over the line in Europe. and they failed again this season, and it's looking like they might not even be there in the next. So I understand why people think that Juventus might have wasted 100 million, or 100 million euros. I understand that sentiment, but considering what Ronaldo's done as an individual in Italy, it's been pretty good. And you know, it's not his fault that the organization and everything behind the scenes has been a bit of a shambles. I think that Juventus have failed to build around him and to complement him. But in that same breath, you know, having Ronaldo on your side does inspire a different kind of football. It's just give Ronaldo the ball, which, you know, if you've watched him for the last couple of years, you know that he isn't that player anymore. He's a box player who will score a lot of goals, but he isn't that kind of player. So yeah, it's interesting. But at the end of the day, it's his fifth trophy in 3 years. Over a century of goals. I think in 20 years' time, nobody will have the context and it'll be seen as a major success. But for now, it's not really there.
I agree. So, who do you think would take over Pirlo if Pirlo had to leave?
I think that Zidane is going to become an immediate target because what the Spanish press is saying right now is that Zidane has communicated his desire to leave the club, to leave Real Madrid at the end of the season. So I do think he'll become an immediate target, considering he has a relationship with Juventus. He obviously played there before going to Real Madrid. I think he's probably the most heavily linked for now, Sean.
Okay, yeah, interesting.
Like, Kurt, I just want to find out from you. Do you think with Milan winning the league and it showed so many loopholes, especially in Juventus' side, in terms of the quality of the players that they have, or maybe next season they need to beef up the squad, and with all the money that goes to Ronaldo, do you think they'll actually, without Ronaldo probably looking to leave if they don't qualify for the Champions League, do you think they might save money and bring in a couple of players, especially younger players that will continue with the Juventus legacy?
Yeah, I think Juventus right now is just one of many teams in Europe that is in desperate need of like a full revamp. It's an aging squad, you know, Chiellini, Bonucci, Ronaldo, all of these guys are in their late 30s. They're all 40 years old. Buffon's literally 43 years old. So I do think that that's going to happen, Teco. I think it's difficult during these, you know, financially difficult times to go and, you know, do a complete squad overhaul. I don't really see that happening. I like how fans talk about like Arsenal are going to overhaul their entire team at the end of the season. And it's like, where's this money going to come from? They can't buy 11 new players and nor can Juventus. So I don't think it's that simple, but it's definitely needed. And I do think that, you know, maybe making 50 million off Ronaldo could be reinvested in younger players. I think Juventus do need to start thinking about the future, but then also, you know, Juventus, what made them so special, or what has made them so special over the last 10 years, is all those really clever free agent signings that they used to make. I don't know if you remember, but they got like Pirlo for free. I think Rabiot from PSG was free. I know he hasn't really worked out. Then they had like Emre Can for free. Before that, Bonucci. Really good players who, you know, helped them remain consistent in Italy. So they kind of have gone away from that with like big money signings over the last few years. So I think that from top to bottom, that club needs a bit of a restructuring.
So from one striker to another striker, former Real Madrid teammates, Karim Benzema earlier this week was just recalled to the French squad after not playing international football for 6 years. He was left out of the squad for the 2016 Euros, if I'm not mistaken. What is the full story there? I'm struggling to wrap my head around. Obviously, you can't not select him after the season he's having now. He's shredding it in La Liga.
Mm-hmm.
So what was going on behind the scenes there, Kurt?
Someone was having sex, man.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's the whole story summed up. Thanks.
Fair enough. Yeah, good chat, guys. Thank you so much for the news, Kurt.
So what happened was Benzema was... pretty much kicked out of the French setup 6 years ago. It was 2015. After he was alleged to have attempted blackmail on his then teammate, Mathieu Valbuena, who was actually a good friend of his. So the sex tape was leaked, essentially. And Valbuena was getting phone calls from an anonymous number saying, we have your sex tape, you give us, I think it was 150,000 euros, and we don't leak it to the internet. And apparently, and you know, I've done as much reading up for this as I can. Apparently,
I'm watching.
Apparently, what happened was Valbuena approached Benzema for advice, and Benzema said, rather pay the money than go to the police, which, you know, raised suspicions. People got a little, or found that a little strange. Valbuena ended up going to the police station, and it was later found out that the guy who was in possession of the sex tape was actually a childhood friend of Benzema's. So that's how they linked those two. But we must remember that he hasn't been in the 6 years since it happened. He hasn't been found guilty of anything. I have seen that he is set to stand trial, later this year.
Trial for what?
Trial for this, for alleged blackmail, or attempted blackmail.
Okay. So Benzema was in on it?
Well, that's what the suspicion is, Sean, but he's never been found.
Not like he needs the money, right?
Well, exactly. So, look, I don't want to, you know, speak out of turn here, but it seems like Benzema's friends with a few dodgy oaks. I'm just going to say that. So he was believed to have been involved, but he's always maintained that he had no involvement. So have many people, but over the years, what kind of made everybody believe Benzema was never going to play for France again was this constant back and forth between him and Deschamps, you know, publicly, and then also the French Football Federation president saying that Benzema will never play for France again. I think Benzema once insinuated that Deschamps had given in to the racist part of France, which I know caused a lot of problems. Deschamps said that will forever be a stain on his name, and he will always feel a way about the, you know, I think his family got threatened. Deschamps' family got threatened, and they got like death. Yeah, it was just a horrible response to those comments from Benzema. You know, incredibly, they've managed to put that all behind them. I think that there was a long conversation, but from what I've read, there was a long conversation between Deschamps and Benzema before he was recalled to the team after, you know, 6 years. So it's a very interesting story. I'm quite shocked to see that he's back in the side. And Deschamps also said that Benzema would have been selected even if it was just a 23-man squad. Teams are allowed to now take 26 players to the Euros. So Benzema would have been in the side, you know, either way. Look, it's obviously good for football because Benzema's been in the form of his life since Ronaldo left Real Madrid in 2018. He's been incredible.
No longer any shadow, I guess.
Yeah, he's just been incredible. And, you know, the possibility of Benzema and Antoine Griezmann and Kylian Mbappe all together in an attack is incredible. Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that happen. So it's good for football. It's definitely a little strange, but excited either way.
Sure. Well, I mean, the first half of that story, I had no clue about. The second half, absolutely. That's why I asked you said question. But thank you very much for the international news breakdown, Kurt Buckerfield, Soccer Laduma international news correspondent. Have a fantastic day further.
Cheers, guys.
Shall we move on swiftly there, my man? Can you believe, Teko, that now apparently SuperSport United have been sold? I don't know how true it is. I'm hoping that it's not the case. And I've also heard that it's probably been sold to the previous owners of Wits, the Bidvest Group. PSL guys, what is going on?
Guys,
So you've got the ex-owners of a team that basically gave away Wits, who want to reinvest in football again. And it's a bizarre one. I mean, I don't know. I mean, recently, Bidvest, they denied that they sold. Highlands Park denied that they sold. And then obviously, when it all came out, it had already been done. So that's what the claim is now, that it's already been done. Stan Matthews is going on record saying that it hasn't been sold, and stop spreading vicious rumors. Yeah, I mean, I like SuperSport as a team. They've always done well. Top eight, always top four sometimes. But always had a good squad, played good football. They don't jump coaches like these other teams we're speaking about. It is a bizarre one. And I hope it's not true, but I have a sneaky suspicion it is. What do you think, Tex?
I think it's a rumor that has been there for a while. Mm. So for me, I strongly believe it's true. Mm. Because they come out and say, I think they speak about, you know, the money that is being put on into development, because that's why they produce so many players
yeah.
to come to the first team. So they're spending so much money there. So with all the financials problems that everybody's in, I think they're trying to figure out how to, you know, to come out of that situation, because they can't run the team like that anymore. But yet again, you ask yourself, is with all the financial year that it is struggling in, how were they making money? Were they making money from the fans? Because they've got 250 fans. So you fail to understand. And SuperSport has never been a team that signs, you know, they're breaking the market to get a player to come and play for them. They always spend wisely. It's always been that type of a team.
Yeah,
and they always relied on the younger ones to come through, and you know how it is, because they play for that development, so they're much more cheaper.
Yeah, it's a good business model, right?
If you exactly. get it right. Yeah, they get it. Once you get it right, it's absolutely magnificent.
Yeah,
but yet again, you have Bidvest yet on the side that sold the team not so long ago. They want to buy it back again. And you ask yourself, well, what's the reason of buying the team back again? Because in the beginning of Bidvest's sale, I think there was a rumor that was circulating that people that were involved, whether the coaches and other people, they wanted to reinvest into the team for Bidvest not to sell the team to them, so that they could continue running with the team, especially with the infrastructure and the, you know, the development that they have. Everything there was going very well, but they insisted on selling to this guy, or the tender guy.
Mm.
But then again, it comes back to the conversation that we had earlier on in the season, that what's the criteria? You know, what are the rules in buying and selling the team within the PSL structure? Because now we're seeing so many teams now that are selling. Some are selling with no reason.
Mm.
Some are just people that are buying. They're just buying with no reason. Look, if you go now to the bank and want to buy a car, they have to send in an application, and they have to, you know, do what they can to see if you can actually afford to have this type of a car.
They do like a whole background check on you.
Exactly. So now when people are buying the teams, you know, you find 2 months later, especially with TTM case, now somebody now is selling the team. So now are we going to have this? Is this going to be a trend of every season now a team's going to be sold? If that's the case, then what is it that PSL can do? Because if you remember, I think a season ago, Dr. Ivan Koza came back and spoke about, I think, 1 billion rand that has been made by the PSL within that season. So with all the funds that the PSL has made, I understand, I think they increased the grants as well for the teams. I just want to feel, I would really like to know, what is it that they're able to do going forward to avoid such things? Because number one, it's not great for football. It's not great for the sponsors. It's not great for everyone. Players are losing jobs season in. So it's going to be a problem, because I don't like now. Imagine a Glade Africa team winning a championship. Now, as they're about to come into the PSL, they sell like Richards Bay years ago. That's what they did. They won and then they sold. You know, and AmaZulu at the time got relegated and they bought the status back. So you're trying to figure out.
Remember that?
Yeah. So you're trying to look at what's this issue now? Why are we having so many teams being sold? What's the problem? Can the PSL probably sit down and try and maybe get more investors into these teams? Because I think it would be nicer if the PSL make whatever that they can to make sure that all these teams that are struggling with finding funds, let them, you know, find a way how to create funds for those teams to be sustainable. Because look now, if SuperSport goes, definitely, Kaitana Tembo won't be a coach of whatever team that is going to. right? Which means Caetano Terminal is back on the market. Now he needs to move around and we know where he's going. He's going to be cheaper. And then you look at all the quality players. Because for now, with these rumors, it doesn't surprise me, because I remember Tebogo Mokoena came out and say he wants to play, he's definitely going overseas next season. And I was trying to figure out that how can, especially now, why would SuperSport want to sell this boy when they need him so much? But now with all the rumors now, you know, with Bradley Robler probably going to the big teams, now it makes sense.
Mm.
Now when Tebogo Mokoena, they sell the team. Yeah, so Dembule, now it makes sense. Yeah. Dembules, all the top players that are leaving. Yeah. So now what's going to happen to the younger ones that are just come in? What's going to happen to the coaches? What's going to happen to the development structure? So it's just that, you know, instead of progressing with the game, I think we're going backwards. And I think this is the trend that has started a while ago. And I think it's affecting our football. I just hope that the PSL can realize that and find a solution to this type of issues.
So I think SuperSport have a legitimate excuse if they are selling, quote unquote, that the money that DStv is spending on PSL and the MDC is making it difficult for them to afford running the club. That's a legitimate reason, right? I mean, I understand that. So, it's an interesting one. It's sad because it's one of the better clubs in the PSL in terms of how they are run. Senior management, and there's real football people involved in that.
Yeah.
Like Stan Matthews is a football person.
Yeah.
So interesting times ahead.
Dude, I'm scared for the players. That's all I'm saying. Because I was once in that situation when I was introduced to the PSL, there were 18 teams, Sean, if you remember very well. And then I played one season, and then after that they reduced them to 16. So Real Stars had to be sold.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, in those meetings with the whole players, the top guys knew exactly where they were going.
Mm.
You know, the younger ones like us, we didn't know what's going to happen to our future. And that was scary, dude. That's when I realized actually that I might fail. I might not get an opportunity to go play anywhere because I wasn't given enough chance to showcase my talent at the time. So I feel for players, especially when teams are getting sold and all, like, because the easiest ones are the ones that are playing very well. Your Mbules, your all the Mokoenas, it's easy for them to find teams. So I understand the pain of players not, you know, being unsure of their next move. And I don't want any player to be in that position because I know how frustrating it is.
How it feels, yeah. Hectic.
And we will definitely keep you all updated on that story as it is still developing. But from there, we move on to this week in football history.
Today, we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
So, Sean Tecker, I was doing a little bit of digging, and this one's for you. This week in 2012, Sergio Aguero scored that goal against QPR. Wow. He secured the title for Manchester City in the 90-whatever minute, snatching it away from Manchester United on the final match day.
Oh.
And also this week in 2006, teenager Kiana Prince gets stabbed to death outside his training club. He was a QPR youth team player. And the reason I bring this up because earlier this week, EA have just announced that 15 years after his death, Keon will now be a playable footballer in FIFA 21. This is all for a campaign to raise awareness for knife violence in the UK. So I think that's a nice little touching fact there.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I mean, 9 years ago, take all that goal. Can you believe it?
Dude,
I remember exactly where I was.
Dude,
I was
like,
in tears. That's where I was, Sean.
Oh man, I remember that goal, and then after that he took off his shirt and because I think there were double screens on TV, so you could see Man U on the other side that were devastated.
So I remember the goal, and Teko remembers a man taking off his shirt. I don't know,
because I remember the celebration, because I've been an infield player, so I know what it feels like to score, Sean.
Okay,
you're a goalkeeper. Have you scored?
I have never scored a professional goal. No.
Okay, cool. So now you understand.
Own goals count too, Sean?
That's it. I've scored a couple of those, that's for sure.
And from there, we move over to place your bets. So, We're going to talk about the second round of the quarterfinals in the CAF Champions League, mainly Al Ahly versus Sundowns and Chiefs versus Simba. What are your predictions there, gents?
Well, it'll be Simba versus Chiefs, right? Because Simba are playing at home. I'm going for a dull draw and obviously Kaizer Chiefs becoming victorious over the two legs.
A dull draw being like 0-0?
Yeah, 1-1, 0-0.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take it. Says 1-1, 0-0. I think Simba will do whatever it can to try and win the game. I think Simba will win probably maybe 1-0, but that won't matter because Kaizer Chiefs will still qualify.
Hmm. Okay. And Sundowns versus Al Ahly.
Yeah, this is going to be a interesting game. Sure. I'm going to go for a very entertaining draw, something like 2-2. And Al Ahly to go through, unfortunately.
I mean, it's a tough one because, like, who do you want to go through? Like, Pitso, the legend Sundowns, or like.
We want Sundowns to go through.
Want Sundowns to go.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a soft spot for Pitso. We always will. And we thank him for all the job he's done in South Africa and now moving into Africa. But I think it's going to be a 2-2 draw and then Al Ahly to go through.
Look, I think Sundowns will win the game, but they won't qualify.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like a 1-0.
Maybe a 1-0, but they will win this game. Because look, dude, if it was against Simba or something else, I'd say Mamelodi Sundowns will qualify. But now they're playing a team that's just played Bayern not so long ago. You know, and they're in a space where they know how to win. They've got a coach that knows exactly how to win, especially against his former team. So it'll be very difficult for Sundowns. But I think they will win the game. But to qualify, it's going to be a mountain to climb.
Okay. That's interesting. So with the second leg of the quarterfinals coming up, I guess you could say Chiefs, you know, feel a sense of comfortability. You know what else has a sense of comfortability, Sean? The car of the week.
Damn. Just as I thought Slew had it intact, you just take it, bait. That is so good. Anyway, car of the week, Injabulo Blum, Kaizer Chiefs' young sensation, has been rewarded with his good form of late with a new Toyota Corolla 2-litre XR CVT. You'll have noticed that the Corolla sedan is sportier all over. It boasts a low center of gravity and a wider stance. There's a new rear wishbone suspension for good handling and comfort, plus a chassis that's been reinforced with adhesive for greater rigidity. That's a nice word. And stability. Toyota has genuinely managed to produce another quality product, and bar the iffy console between the front seats, everything else is way above par. That will go a long way in ensuring returning and new customers will sign on the all-imported dotted line. The Corolla is the new benchmark in its segment. If Toyota had made it any better, it would have traversed into the next segment. This 12th generation Corolla is a good car and will continue to be the standard bearer for all of the next few years. I give this an 8.5 out of 10, and it does come in at quite expensive, about a 450,000
SA Rant. Corollas are very reliable, though.
They are.
Very, very, very.
Like, whether it has that, like, old shitty radio, like a fancy touchscreen, it drives really well and it's reliable.
It does. You can buy one and keep it the rest of your life. They don't look the best, granted, but they are super reliable.
Yeah. But it's all about getting from point A to point B in a car, I guess.
Correct, my friend.
You know, cosmetics look cool, but it is what it is. So last week it was mentioned that we're going to mix things up a bit today. So, Teko, I invite you to the stage for this week's motivational quote.
I'm invited, Chief.
You are welcome. Hey.
Linda Mtambo from Orlando Pirates, I think he said something very interesting for me. He said, whenever you feel crushed, under pressure, pressed, or in darkness, you're in a powerful place of transformation. So that for me was nice.
I like
you know,
it.
Just trust the process.
You can
trust
learn.
Trust the process.
You're going to learn from... you may not see the light now, but once you get out of it, you would have learned a lot. I like it.
Yes, sir. That's real nice. Yes, sir.
Like it.
Thanks, Teko.
I like it too.
And that is how we wrap up episode 74 of The Car Wash, proudly brought to you by Heineken. Whether you have been listening in on slpodcast.co.za, Google Play, Apple Podcast, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM's Game Time, thank you for tuning in. I've been your host, Aiden. That has been Mr. Sean Roberts.
Thank you, Eddie.
And that has been Mr. Teko Modise.
Away my boots.
We will see you all same time, same place next week. Peace.
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 Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.